Chapter 27. Doing the ditty's words in the rough and bitter voice in which they were uttered by Ralph. Even Mr. Mantalini felt their influence, and turning affrighted round, exclaimed, "What a damned horrid croaking! ! You will pay no attention, if you please, to what Mr. Mantalini says," observed his wife, addressing Miss Nickleby. "I do not, ma'am," said Kate, with quiet contempt. "Mr. Mantalini knows nothing whatever about any of the young women," continued Madame, looking at her husband, and speaking to Kate. "If he has seen any of them, he must have seen them in the street, going to, or returning from, their work, and not here. He was never even in the room. I do not allow it. What hours of work have you been accustomed to?" "I have never yet been accustomed to work at all, ma'am," replied Kate, in a low voice. "For which reason she'll work all the better now," said Ralph, putting in a word, lest this confession should injure the negotiation. "I hope so," returned Madame Mantalini. "Our hours are from 9 to 9, with extra work when we're very full of business, for which I allow payment as overtime." Kate bowed her head, to intimate that she heard, and was satisfied. "Your meals," continued Madame Mantalini, "that is, dinner and tea, you will take here. I should think your wages would average from 5 to 7 shillings a week, but I can't give you any certain information on that point until I see what you can do." Kate bowed her head again. "If you're ready to come," said Madame Mantalini, "you had better begin on Monday morning at 9 exactly, and Miss Knack the forewoman shall then have directions to try you with some easy work at first. Is there anything more, Mr. Nickleby?"
"Nothing more, ma'am," replied Ralph, rising.
"Then I believe that's all," said the lady. Having arrived at this natural conclusion, she looked at the door, as if she wished to be gone, but hesitated notwithstanding, as though unwilling to leave to Mr. Mantalini the sole honor of showing them downstairs. Ralph relieved her from her perplexity by taking his departure without delay, Madame Mantalini making many gracious inquiries why he never came to see them, and Mr. Mantalini anathematizing the stairs with great volubility as he followed them down, in the hope of inducing Kate to look round, a hope, however, which was destined to remain ungratified. "There," said Ralph, when they got into the street, "now you're provided for." Kate was about to thank him again, but he stopped her. "I had some idea," he said, "of providing for your mother in a pleasant part of the country." He had a presentation to some almshouses on the borders of Cornwall, which had occurred to him more than once, "but as you want to be together, I must do something else for her. She has a little money?"
"A very little," replied Kate.
"A little will go a long way, if it's used sparingly," said Ralph. "She must see how long she can make it last, living rent-free. You leave your lodgings on Saturday?"
"You told us to do so, uncle."
"Yes. There is a house empty that belongs to me, which I can put you into till it is let, and then, if nothing else turns up, perhaps I shall have another. You must live there."
"Is it far from here, sir?"
Inquired Kate. "Pretty well," said Ralph. "In another quarter of the town at the east end. But I'll send my clerk down to you, at 5 o'clock on Saturday, to take you there. Goodbye. You know your way? Straight on."
Coldly shaking his niece's hand, Ralph left her at the top of Regent Street, and turned down a by-thoroughfare, intent on schemes of money-getting. Kate walked sadly back to their lodgings in the Strand. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.